you believe that he hears and he answers prayer, go ahead and give him all that praise. Magnify him and bless him tonight. What a good God and how worthy. We give you praise, oh God. We magnify you, mighty God. Glory to God. What a great day to be alive in his kingdom. I appreciate the praise group and musicians ushering us in and helping us have a time of worship in the presence of God. And I'm so glad to be in the house of God with his people tonight, and thankful for all these that are listening in at home and in this strange and different season. We're finding our way, and we're worshiping and magnifying God and continuing in our faithfulness, and God's going to send revival. It's the will of God for us to have revival. Somebody say amen. Praise God. Glory to God. So if you hear Brother Stephen or whoever, they're talking about Mia. Mia's like a senior this year, I think, in her high school. And she just woke up one morning post some sort of infection or something, and I think Guillain-Barré is what they've diagnosed her with, but just scary to get up in the morning and you can't walk and you can't control your musculature. And they had her at Children's for a good long season, and she was home the last I've heard. But you need to really take her on your heart, especially some of you young ladies. Just take her on your heart and pray for her every day, that God will continue to strengthen her and bless her. Everybody say amen. So excellent to be in the Lord's house on a Wednesday night, and it's raining cats and dogs outside, but we just believe that it's the will of God to rain Holy Ghost in the house. And it'd be beautiful for someone to go home tonight different than you came, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, with new anointing in your life and new vision in your life. And it's the will of God for you to grow every time you come to the house of God. And that's our focus tonight. Now, we're going to read tonight in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And we'll continue with a discussion on Hannah and Hannah's song. Praise God. And so we'll just start at the top of the chapter. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. And my horn is exalted in the Lord, and my mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more exceeding proudly, let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired themselves out for bread, and they that were hungry seized. And so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth, maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifts up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. And he will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them, and the Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." If you're in love with the word of God and you're thankful for it tonight, as you are seated, let's give God praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We thank you, mighty God, for the privilege of handling your word in this house and for the richness and the goodness of it tonight. And so we've been talking about Hannah and Sunday morning and Sunday night. We talked about Sunday morning, her vow before God, her intense and persistent prayer. And then God granted her the object of her prayer, which was a son. But she had promised to God, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to the house of God. And she did, and he becomes the judge, the prophet, the priest, Samuel. He's a pivotal character, a historical personality in the Word of God, and there's no one else quite like Samuel in that era or in any other. He's the first one to anoint kings in Israel, and he anoints Saul and David, and so that is the product of her travail and her prayer. But the question is, and we explored it Sunday morning, she remembers her vow. And she follows through with her vow and her commitment to God. Unlike historical Israel, who prayed prayers and made commitments and asked for forgiveness and sought after God, but when they got blessed and when they were visited by God and when God delivered them from their enemies, they inevitably forgot God and they inevitably walked away from the things of God. And as they did, they walked right back into more trouble. But not Hannah. Hannah prayed a prayer. She made a vow. She had a commitment. And then she followed through. And so it's interesting to us, what causes people to follow through? What is there about that that gives you that staying power and the persistence in your experience? And you hear this throughout the Word of God. And Paul teaches that you should not be weary in well-doing. And Jesus says, I would that men would pray always and faint not. Don't stop praying. But he knows, and Paul knows, the nature of the humanity that they're dealing with, that we have mountains and valleys, and we have emotional peaks, and we have emotional troughs, and we sometimes lose our way and lose our commitment. But the secret to living for God at a high level and continuing to be persistent in your experience in God is to be consistent across all experiences, consistent across all types of seasons. When you get up, it may be wintertime or summertime, but you're going to be there living for God at a high level. It may be a time of famine. It may be a time of prosperity, but you're going to be living for God. Does anybody feel like you've crossed over and made that commitment in your heart tonight that I don't care? I've taken a vow before God, and whatever happens in my life or whatever season I'm in, I'm going to be like God is, in the fact that God never stops loving me, and God never stops blessing me, and God never stops helping me, and I want to be responsive to God based on his model and on his response to me. Can you say amen? And so these are all observations and perhaps questions that we have about Hannah and what makes her successful. Because if you're a wise student of the Word of God, you're looking to appropriate the strength of the characters from the Word of God and into your own life, and you're looking to avoid the faults and the failures of the characters in the Word of God. You don't want those in your life. And so something we see in this second chapter is that Hannah has a song. And Hannah sings her song. Now, you may recognize this. It kind of rambles in the King James, and it comes to us from the Hebrew, and I'm sure it makes musical sense in the Hebrew. It doesn't make a lot of musical sense in the English, but the content of it is something that we're interested in looking at. And so Hannah's prayer and Hannah's vow and her follow-through and her effectiveness is perhaps revealed to us in her song. She has a song, and she doesn't forget her song, unlike those captives in Babylon of whom the Word of God said in the Psalms, they hang their harps upon the willows. They forgot their song because they weren't in the right place, and it wasn't the right time, and they didn't have the right circumstances, and so they lost their song, and they lost consequently their joy. And if you lose your joy, you'll lose your soul, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Somebody say amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, don't lose your song. If you're in your house and you're in your living room or you're in your kitchen, look at somebody there at the house and say, don't lose your song. Come on, we might be having church in COVID season and you might be having church at home, but you need to have church at home. Put aside what you're fiddling with there. Put aside the thing that's occupying your attention and let's get involved and let's have church. Somebody say amen. Well, praise God. You can multitask a lot of things, but it's hard to multitask church. You need to be focused and intentional, and you need to be concentrated there in the presence of God and concerning the Word of God. And so her song here is showcased in the Word of God. Now, there are a lot of activities and a lot of historical events that took place and all sorts of things that never made the cut and never got into the pages of the Word of God concerning the thousands of years of the people of God and their stories. And so her song is a prayer. And this is kind of like review in verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. And so her prayer is a song, and her song is full of rejoicing. And singing and rejoicing makes an imprint in your psyche and in your spirit and down in your soul. And it's a good thing for you to do that. You have to understand that what comes out of your mouth is looped into your heart. Jesus, or the Word of God, says that what the heart is full of will come out of your mouth, and what your mouth is saying will be what your heart is full of. Or, as he says, the mouth speaks the abundance of the heart. But the thing is on a loop. And if you are negative Sally, or if you're just the most unhappy and negative guy in the house of God, it's going to fill your heart with that, and it's going to contend against the kingdom of God. And you've got to stop singing that sad song. David said, he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God. Tell somebody by you, I've got a new song in my heart today. I've got a song about the kingdom. Is anybody happy with what God is doing? I've got a song about deliverance. Is anybody living a better life than you lived when you were without God in your life? I'm singing a song about glory and heaven, and I've got a promise, and God's going to save me. And we've got a lot to sing about. Somebody say praise the Lord. Is there anybody here that's been healed in your body? You ought to have a song about God is a healer. Has anybody been provided for by a good God that looked out for you? You ought to have a song about provision. Is there anybody here that God made a way where there was no way? You ought to have a song in your mouth. Well, praise God. And so a song will keep you alive, and we see that in Hannah's life. And we walked through that a good bit on Sunday night, so we won't spend much time on that right now, other than to say that the 149th Psalm declares, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Down in verse 5, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. And you might think that this is talking about when you go to sleep tonight, you should strike up a song and be singing. But I really believe that he's talking about those types of beds that don't seem to be conducive to singing, like a sick bed or a death bed. But I believe God's people sing even in the most difficult circumstances. I'll tell you, your song will serve you well when nothing is wrong, and your song will serve you well when everything is wrong. Moses taught him a song in the wilderness. It was a simple song, and it just said, spring up, oh well. When you're feeling dry and you need a move of God in your life, you need to set yourself up and begin to sing that song of Israel in the wilderness. And it's a simple song, and you can remember all the lyrics. All it was spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well. Has anybody been in a dry place, but when you begin to call on God, you felt the touch of the Holy Ghost begin to move, and you wonder, why didn't I begin to pray sooner? Why did I go so long in a dry time? Why didn't I call on God? I'll tell you, he's not far from any one of us. He's close by. He's easily entreated. He loves you more than anybody loves you. And when you start to call on him, he's going to touch your life. Is there a witness in the house tonight? And so verse 2, there is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. And this is her song. There's nobody like Jesus. That's her song. I'm configuring it for the New Testament era and the dweller of the church age, but there's nobody like Jesus. There is none as holy. Holiness is the quality that is of God and God alone. And so people and places and things can be rendered holy but in the Word of God, but it is because they come into the criteria that allows them to be affected by the holiness of God. But it is distinctly the possession of God and God's alone. Nobody else is holy. We are a holy people, but that's because we rest underneath his wings. And the temple of God was holy, and the articles of the temple and the instruments of the process, they were all holy before God, but they were made by the Word of God. They were exclusively the property of God. And so when we come into that criteria or that definition, then we can share in his holiness. But you can't get holy anywhere but God. And you can't find that touch anywhere but God. Is there anybody here tonight that loves holiness? Is there anybody here that when you begin to hear the message of holiness, it changed? I'm telling you, holiness is not a drag. Holiness is not a burden. Holiness is not some oppressive thing. But holiness is drawing close to God. And we love the presence of God. And the goodness that's there is indescribable. So there's no one holy like the Lord. He's set apart. He's above. He's beyond. He's pure and he's perfect. And if you're looking for anything perfect in this world, you won't find it outside of God himself. And it gives me hope when I draw close to him. And I know how fragile and I know how broken and I know how imperfect I am. But when I draw close to him, it gives me hope, because I've heard about a city where it's absolutely perfect and divine. I've heard about a place in eternity where there's no sickness and no weeping and no dying and no goodbyes, and I believe in that. But I'll tell you, when I draw close to him, I believe in it all the more. When I get a glimpse of him, I believe in it all the more. There's nobody like Jesus. Somebody tell your neighbor, there's nobody like Jesus. That's what she's singing. She said, there's nobody holy like the Lord, and there's none beside thee. There's nobody like you. If you ever had the idea that the devil was as strong as God, you had the wrong idea. You need to read Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1, and you see one angel with one chain and one hand comes and binds up the devil and casts him into a pit for 1,000 years. I want you to know there's nobody that approximates what God is on any level. He is the apex of every desirable, wonderful, beautiful thing. And the closer you get to him, the more like him you become. And the closer you get to him, the more you can share in the treasure of all the beauty and the goodness and the love and the grace and the mercies of God. Don't run from God, run to God. Don't hide from God, hide in God. And if you're tired of an ugly world, draw close to a beautiful God. And if you're tired of a lonely world, draw close to a loving God. And if you're tired of a desperate world, draw close to a God that is peace, that passes all understanding. There's none beside you, and there's no other rock like our God. And there's She's singing. There's no other foundation. There's no other ground of being. There's no other reality. And the life you're living in right now and the things you're dealing with right now, they may seem like reality, but if they contradict the word of God and they contradict the things of God, I want to tell you, that's not real. It may seem real. It may feel real. It may seem like it's crushing your dream or crushing your life, but you need to get your eyes up off of temporal things and look into the face of God tonight and realize that He is the ultimate reality and He is the definition of reality. My God, when people draw close to Him, they rise from the dead. When people draw close to Him, they walk on water. When people draw close to Him, blind eyes open up and they see. Does anybody believe that tonight? There's hope for the hopeless and life for those that have never tasted life before. I'm telling you, He's a good God, and there's no other rock like our rock. It's a foundation. Storm's going to come. Matthew teaches us that. Matthew 7, storm is going to come to every life, and the rain's going to come, and the driving wind is going to come to everybody, no matter what your foundation. But the serious understanding of that passage is that even though everybody has storms, after the storm, you built on the rock, Christ Jesus, you're still standing. Has anybody been through a storm in this house, and after it was over, you kind of shook yourself off and said, thank God I'm built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. I'm built on the foundation of the name of Jesus. He said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Somebody give Him praise tonight. There's no rock like our rock. Well, what is she doing? She's singing a song about kingdom essentials. She's singing a song about her God and the beauty of her God and the wonder of her God and the exclusive nature of that God. She's singing a song that reminds her every time she sings it about who He is and what He is. That's why the devil wants to steal your song, and he wants you to sing a song of oppression and a song of sorrow and loss. But you need to remember that the joy of the Lord is your strength, and you need to remember your song, and you need to find your harp again and take your harp up and begin to magnify God. David demonstrates to us you can drive a devil out of your house by singing your song of praise unto God. Somebody say praise God. So you need to remember your song, praise God. And it brings her back. It reorients her. And you can lose your way, and then you remember to sing, and you remember to praise, and you begin to think more clearly, and you remember the word of God. Praise God. Hannah prayed and sang about arrogance and hubris. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. I don't know what the tune of this thing is, and I don't know how she made it all work. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. And so as you're singing your song, remind yourself in your song that God gets all the glory, and that it's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And it's not by your strength or by your smarts, but that we all come humbly before a God who knows everything, and He's able, and He's good. And it's a hedge against hubris in our lives. And pride and hubris are such a killer of those that are found in the pages of the Word of God. People forget when they were small, and they forget how they were before God found them. And so in your song, you need to sing, I can't be singing proudly, and I can't let arrogancy come out of my mouth. And the Lord is a God of knowledge. He knows what I am. He knows that I'm just dust, and He knows that I'm weak, and He knows that I've got so many problems in my life. And so it's funny how your vanity stays with you, even though you've come into an experience in God, and it always looks for a place to express itself. You know, when Paul's teaching about the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, he's really talking about unity in the body, and he's talking about nuts and bolts of how to walk in the gifts and how to express yourself in the gifts. But what he's really warring against there is arrogance and pride, because even in the gifts of the Spirit, people bow up and get prideful about, look at what God's doing in me. So if you're in a place where you're teaching or you're singing or you witness to somebody and you win them to God, or you're praying for someone and they pray through to the Holy Ghost, or you lay hands on the sick and they recover, or you give a message in tongues and interpretation, or you teach a class, or you preach a sermon, or you do a good deed, watch yourself, because your arrogance, your pride will try to rise up in the middle of that, because it's your stinking fallen nature. But she builds it into her song, and she sings, don't talk so exceedingly proud, don't let arrogancy come out of your mouth. And so she builds it into her song that she knows she should stay humble before God, because God is a God of knowledge. He knows us, and by him actions are weighed. It's a continual conditioning. It's a continual warning. And so our song needs to be full of praise and full of the rejoicing over what God has done, but the elevating and the magnifying of God. David said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. And it's an exercise in the human experience, because you can't make God any bigger. And what you're doing is you're making, as you magnify God, you're making God bigger in you and in your thought and in your perspective and in your realization. You're magnifying God. Why? Because the world beats down on you, and your natural man descends down and collapses in. And if you're not careful, and if you're not oriented toward maintaining your experience, your God will grow smaller, and your world and the conditions of the world grow larger in your life. And so you have to be on a campaign to make God as big as you can. You give God credit for everything, and you beat the drum of God every day, and you sing the song of God in your prayer life and in your worship and in your experience. Because the beast of pride and arrogance will rise up in anybody's heart if they don't keep themselves humble. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And one of the things you don't want to do is you don't want to give your pride a voice. You can't help sometimes thoughts bubble up. You can't help but have a thought bubble up sometime. And that stinks of arrogance. A thought will bubble up, and you'll be feeling all good about what you've done and how you've done it and all of that. And then that thought will come up, but don't give it a voice. Everybody say, shut my mouth. The Bible says, put a knife to your throat. If you have a hard time, controlling your speech, it's like threaten yourself. It's like, stop it. Don't do that. But you need to catch yourself and monitor yourself and make sure that you don't let pride find a voice in your life. You really need to understand, and we've talked about it in many, many venues, but your spoken word is so incredibly powerful, because you are made in the image of God, and God steps out in the creative act in Genesis 1, and he calls light out of darkness, and he calls creation out of nothingness, and you're like him. You can speak things into being, and we talked about it Sunday, but the children of Israel spoke themselves into death in the wilderness, because they said over and over and over again, and it became their song and their mantra, we're going to die in the wilderness, we're going to die in the wilderness, we're going, and they, you know, they died in the wilderness. And there were people there in that group that said, we can go, we can take it, we can enter in, we can conquer the land. And they did. They went in. And the difference between the two camps was what they said and what they didn't say. And you condition yourself in your prayer, and you condition yourself in your song. And so make sure that you're singing the right song, and make sure that your song is revolving around the goodness and the greatness of God. He's a God of knowledge. and by him our actions weighed. Ask Nebuchadnezzar. God checked him. He stood on the ramparts of that great empire and said, "Behold, mighty Babylon that I have built." And God told him, "Don't you ever say that again, because I raised you up, and I raised you up with a purpose." And he did. He conquered Israel with Babylon. And so Babylon was raised up and became the servant of God. But he forgot about that conversation with God. And he stood out on the ramparts another night, and he got full of himself, and he said, "Oh, look at mighty Babylon that I..." And the Bible said, while the words were yet in his mouth, he became like an animal, and God drove him out into the wilderness for 7 years, because he is a God of knowledge. And I'll just tell you, God loves you too much. And even a stinker like Nebuchadnezzar, God had mercy on. He sent him a dream. He said, the prophet told him, he said, "You've had this dream, and this dream is about a great tree, and the great tree was hewn down, but a ring of brass was placed around the stump." And he did that ring of brass, kept the life in that stump. He said, "I'm going to cut you absolutely down, but I'm going to give you a chance to come back." And in 7 years, Babylon was reintroduced to their king, who had lived like a wild animal for 7 years. But he came back. And as soon as his understanding came to him, he said, "There is a God in the heavens." He came to himself. I want you to know God loves you too much. And he will break you. He'll take what you have. He'll take what he's given you. He'll break you down until you call on him. He wants you to live for him. He tried blessing you and pouring out goodness and grace on your life. But if you won't hear him with blessing and goodness and grace, God will send you a wilderness. God will send you a desert journey. God will send you brokenness and want in your life until you call. If you don't believe that, you don't believe the Old Testament, because that's the complete cyclical story of the Old Testament. But it's a lot easier if you'll just get up in the middle of where you are right now and learn to sing a song that keeps you on course and keeps you in right perspective and keeps you oriented toward God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor what kind of song you're going to sing. I'm going to sing a good song. I'm going to sing a song of praise. I'm going to sing a song that glorifies God. I'm going to sing a song that talks about how God is so good, and I'm not worthy. I'm going to, whatever I need to do, that's the kind of song I'm going to sing. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands into him and bless his name. He's a good God. Matthew 12 and 37, "For by thy words shall thou be justified, and by the words shall thou be condemned." He teaches there in Matthew 7 that you'll be giving an account for every word that proceeds out of your mouth. Verse 4 in our text, the bows of the mighty men are broken. They that stumbled are girded with strength. There's a verse here in Hannah's song, and she wrote this song while she was under the pressure. She wrote this song while she was barren, and she wanted to have a son, and she wanted to have children, and she couldn't, and God held her back. But she said, "There's coming a day the bows of the mighty men are going to be broken, and those that stumbled are going to be girded with strength." She sang a song about hope. She sang a song about a brighter day. She sang a song about it ain't always going to be like it is right now. She sang a song about they might be out there in the land of the heathens, and they might be doing well, but I'm not going to let that bother me. That's not what I'm going to focus on. I'm going to sing a song that says one day I'm going to be where they are, and one day they're going to be where I am. One day they're going to be down in the dust, and one day I'm going to be standing in the blessing of God. You've got to learn to sing that song when you're down. You need to sing a song that says, "I won't always be here," because God has a way of turning things around. Somebody say praise the Lord. The bows of the mighty men are broken. They won't always rule, and they won't always have power. And you really, I tell you what, in America, you got a lot to sing about, but you're ignorant of a lot of things. You're ignorant of what it feels to live in a despotic, tyrannical, totalitarian government. You're ignorant of what it's like to live in a place where people don't have enough to eat, and they don't have a way to get any better, and where you're born is where you'll die, and there's no relief in sight because of the way the government runs things and the way that the armies war one with another, and your little life just gets tossed around by whoever's killing who in the neighborhood. But I want you to know you're blessed in a multitude of ways in America, and if anybody ought to be singing tonight, it ought to be you. You ought to have a song in your mouth every morning. But when they're in those, I tell you what, your Filipino brothers and sisters and your El Salvadorian and Honduran brothers and sisters are singing songs of praise tonight. And they live in difficult circumstances. And they live in pitiful conditions. But they've got a song in their heart. I just want you to know, if you're not singing a song and you're not full of praise to God, you really don't want to be standing by one of them when we stand in the judgment. You really want to get to singing. And you want to get your eye off what's not and what's not happening and what's wrong in your life. Praise God. And when we talk about our places being altered and those that stumbled are girded with strength, this is not about being in competition with people or wrestling with flesh and blood. This is about the fact that God knows how to turn the tables. God knows how to bring justice. Verse 5, they that were full have hired themselves out for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, and those that were barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. She's singing that song about what has happened. This is her testimony. She's singing about what has happened in her life. God has turned it around. Praise God. Sister Bonnie, are you up there? You up there? Are you able to sing a little tonight, a little song? Huh? You are? Maybe. I just want you to sing one line. I want you to sing, late in the midnight hour, God's going to turn it around. Oh, he brought her a mic. Oh, boy. Okay, now I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. He's gonna work in your favor. He's gonna work it all out. Come on, those that stumbled, they're gonna get up. And those that were barren, they're gonna bring forth. Turn to somebody and say, late in the midnight hour, He's going to turn it around. He's going to move in your favor. He's going to work it all out. You might have a conundrum tonight. You might have something that looks like it doesn't have an answer. You might be looking at something that you can't find the answer to. But I want you to know, in the middle of your midnight, in the middle of your trouble, in the middle of your pain, God's looking for an answer for you. And God's going to work it. Does anybody believe that tonight? Is there a witness? Is there somebody that can say, I was in a midnight, darker than 100 cypress swamps, and God came and God turned it around? Come on, Sam. Well, praise God. Thank you, Sister Bonnie. You're always so helpful and compliant. David said, if it had not been for the Lord, who was on our side. And then he said, let Israel now say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. And now let Randy say, if it had not been for the Lord, had not been for the Lord who was on my side, my God. And then let Hadley say, come on, Hadley, I saw you playing the piano tonight. Come on, stand up. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. How old are you? 15? You don't know nothing. But you start singing young, and you keep on singing it, cause it's true when you're a baby, and it's true when you're a young man, and it's true when you get to be an old man. And let the young men say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. Now let the old people say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. Is there a witness in the house tonight that can say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I would have stumbled, I would have fallen, but I felt these hands lifting me up. You know, David starts singing that, and people get real confident in God, and they say the right things. Psalm 27, he said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Say that. Whom shall I fear? Sounds brave, doesn't it? Sounds confident, doesn't it? The Lord is the strength of my life. Say that. Of whom shall I be afraid? That's not bragging on you, that's bragging on God. But he said, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh. That's some bad enemies. They stumbled and fell. He's talking about how great God is and about how he's not afraid. But in that 13th verse, he said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said, it matters that you believe. It matters that you have hope. Somebody say, you gotta have hope. Tell your neighbor, you gotta have hope. Stop that for a minute. And say, drop it a little bit. Uh-oh, I'm messing with him now. That's way too high. I have hope when trouble comes my way. That's way too high. You better bring that down. Sister Bonnie, help me, help me, help me. And no D here. That's good. When trouble comes my way, I have hope. Oh, yes. Since Jesus has come to stay. Somebody's going to do that.
I have hope. Oh, yes.
Even when things are not well with me. I have a hope.
I've got hope.
It's a beautiful hope. And it sets me free.
It sets me free.
Turn to your neighbor and say, I have hope. Praise God. Praise God. You got to have a song. You've got to have a song. You've got to be able to sing about hope when you're in the middle of your worst trouble. You've got to be able to lift up your head in the middle of the pain and say, I still have hope, and you haven't taken it from me, devil. You can go back to where you were and doing what you were doing, because I didn't do that very well. But you've got to have a song, and you've got to have a word, and you've got to have some faith about where you are and where God is and what he's going to do in your life. So Somebody say praise the Lord. Go ahead and sing that. We gotta let them go now.
Late in the midnight, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work.
It's gonna work in your favor.
He'll work it all out.
Somebody needs to begin to sing right now. Somebody with sickness, sing. Somebody with trouble, sing. Somebody with some pain, sing. Somebody that's heartbroken, sing, sing, sing.
He'll work it all out.
Third person, singular, but you need to sing it in the first person, if you would. Late in the midnight hour.
Late in the midnight hour. God's gonna turn it around.
He's gonna work in my
favor.
Talking about what he's doing and what he's done and what he's about to do. It's a
yeah.
You gotta find your song. Come on, look down in your pocket, dig in your purse, but you need to find your song tonight. You need to be able to sing in your trouble. You need to be able to sing when the devil comes knocking on your door. Tonight, you start singing that right now. Somebody, the devil has told you it's all over, but you tell him it ain't over till God says. Okay, we got 4 minutes. If somebody would like to be filled with the Holy Ghost tonight, speaking in tongues, and you've never received that, come on down to this altar right now. God will fill you. You can receive the Holy Ghost right now. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, we will meet you and take you to the water, and God will wash every sin away. Come on. If you have a need in your life, God will meet you here tonight, and God will touch you. We'll pray with you. Come on, church, pray. Somebody talk in tongues right now. Somebody let the Holy Ghost move in your experience. Somebody be an intercessor. Somebody let the Holy Ghost move in your life. Spring up. Spring up.
God's gonna turn it around.
let's clap
we're
our hands. Let's lift up our voice. Somebody say, I'm blessed.
We're blessed when we come and when we go.
Are you blessed? Are you blessed? Has God been good? Well, it's a wonderful thing to be in the Lord's house on a Wednesday night. Wonderful thing to be alive in the kingdom of God. And it's imperative that we have a song. Our world needs to hear this song. They've got all their own. They've been singing them for thousands of years, and they've never known God, but they need to hear the song of the people of God. Somebody say, yeah, 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 yeah. They need to hear the song. They need to hear hope, and they need to hear life. God bless you. Be a blessing to somebody before you leave the house. And tomorrow, set your workplace on fire, not literally, but spiritually. And touch your neighborhood with prayer. And bless your household with the Spirit of God that's in you. Do it in Jesus' name.